Today on The Grave Talks, we continue our conversation about the dark side of Denver with ghost tour owner and operator, Brooke Lee. But I sometimes think that the historical side sometimes sort of explains the haunting side. For example, you know, if there was a fire, that could explain hauntings. Maybe,
for sure.
Maybe not. But I just think a lot of times the two go hand in hand.
Yeah.
Have you kind of really found that in your research? Like when you researched a location, then you talk to people and it's like, wow, that kind of adds up with what I was researching about this place.
Exactly. Exactly. It gave, you know, we have a lot of modern stories of things that are currently going on in these areas, but some of these more famous stories have been going on for years. And when you look up the information, you can find historical facts that corresponds with the stories. That's always exciting when you can, you know, you have to accept a lot of stuff by faith in the paranormal world, just like anything else.
Mm-hmm.
But when you find a concrete, realistic, historic background to what you've been talking about and what you've been reading about, it really is an exciting moment. They're like, okay, there's more to this than just a random sighting. There's some actual backing to this.
Now, are there tunnels underneath Denver?
There are a lot of tunnels underneath Denver.
What are they there for?
Well, that's, if you find that out, let me know.
I'll dig into that.
Yeah. No, they've been there forever. I mean, there's even stories of, I mean, and this will sound crazy, but we have explored the bottom of the ocean more than we've explored the inner earth. And we haven't explored the bottom of the ocean very much. There are tunnels all over this world. Most major cities have a huge tunnel system underneath them.
Yes.
LA, San Francisco, New York. I mean, the list just goes on and on, even down to smaller cities. There is a huge tunnel network underground. They've been there for years. Now, when you look up the tunnels underneath Denver, you'll find things that they were built for, like during Prohibition times. You'll find things that they were built to, transport goods underground during the winter time when it was hard to travel and move things. But then you also find Native American Indians have stories of a tunnel system in the Denver area. And I even came across a story talking about Mayans coming up from the Central America area through a tunnel system all the way from Central America up to Denver. Stretch of the imagination.
Oh, wow.
Not something that, you know, is normally talked about, but there is documentation out there of groups of people believing that those things exist. And so when I was researching the story, I got a lot of access. I spent a lot of time in a few of the tunnels. I can, you know, personally vouch that they are there. Most of the entrances have been closed off. Like there was a building downtown that used to be the butcher shop. And underneath the butcher shop, he had three different tunnel entrances down there that went to different areas of the town. And he would deliver meats underground to the various hotels and places that, you know, he needed to make deliveries to. But those have all been boarded, bricked up now. The tunnels underneath the Capitol are still open and active. I know for a fact that not too long ago, a few years ago, the 17th Street collapsed in a certain area and exposed the tunnel areas. They didn't just, when they made the repairs, they didn't just fill it in and then make a road over the top of it. They repaired the tunnel that was underneath there and then made the road on top of it. So Denver is actively keeping most of these tunnels open. Who's using them? Why they're still there? Couldn't tell you. Nobody really knows. There's a great book by a lady by the name of Tracy Beach. She wrote a book called The Tunnels Under Our Feet. And it goes through just, she's got tons of pictures all through Colorado and showing how they connect and things like that. It's a pretty interesting read, but it was one of the things I found to really gave me, she has maps of them from the, underneath Denver. And I mean, just about every building you go into, if you get into the basement, you will find an entrance to a tunnel.
It kind of makes sense with weather that they would have an underground system to transport goods from point A to point B. You know, because you and I talked a couple weeks ago when I first reached out to you. I was heading to Burlington, Iowa, the next day, I think, or shortly thereafter.
which is my old home stomping grounds.
I know, which is so weird. And so we found out we had all these connections. But that little town, Burlington, Iowa, has a whole system of underground tunnels.
I was told as a kid that was part of, what is that, the Underground Railroad during slavery?
Yeah, because my sister owns a building. And so if you go down into the basement, which I will never do because it's very haunted. But if you go down into the basement, there is a door that opens onto a brick street.
It's crazy.
And back in the day, it was a funeral home. So they'd bring the bodies through there. And then they had this little elevator, which is kind of creepy to look at it because it's a coffin sized. They had a lot of things they moved through commerce wise through the downtown area. So I wonder if Denver was kind of like that, but then it doesn't explain all of the where it goes throughout, you know, like Colorado. Right.
Well, I mean, if you go even to, not Cheyenne Mountain. Oh, I can't think of the mountain right now. It's escaping me. But in Colorado Springs, there's a whole mountain down there that's been hollowed out and turned into a military base, very well known. And there's tunnels that they talk about that go from Denver down to Colorado Springs, that go all the way out to the Denver International Airport, that go up into the mountains. So, I mean, again, how big and how vast and how expansive these tunnels are, none of the majority of us will ever have a clue. Just seeing them and knowing that they're there offers a bit of uncertainty to what you're walking on. And that's why one of our taglines is find out what haunts beneath your feet, because we do introduce you to these tunnels. We'll take you to a couple places that have an entrance. We don't go into the tunnels. Denver is very protective. They claim there's asbestos in the tunnels and they claim that nobody's allowed in there except for workers. We can explain the tunnels' uses as far as we know. And what they could possibly be used for is kind of the thought behind what we talk about with the tunnels.
What's funny is that you and I kind of emailed back and forth as well about our conversation. And one of the things that you mentioned was the Denver airport. So today I'm talking with my boss slash friend, Tony. And he's like, ask him about the Denver airport. And I'm like, what's the matter with the Denver airport? I've been there. It's been years ago, though. And he's like, there's all these like apocalyptic murals and stuff out there. And I'm like, there is? And apparently there are.
It's a very unique place, to say the least. There's controversy on why it was even first built.
And it's way out there too. I do remember that.
Yeah, the airport that they used to have was closer to the city. Mm-hmm. And that was one of the things they said, because the flight patterns had to get too close to the city, they said. And so they moved it, had to move it to another area. But this area they moved it to is, you know, like you said, far from Denver. It's out in the middle of nowhere. It went over budget by millions and billions of dollars. It was quickly became a very conspiratorial place. I've heard everything of a New World Order's headquarters to the Illuminati hangout to alien bases being below it. They boasted one of the largest underground, what do they call it, when they move your bags around, you know, that system that to move around. They have the largest underground system like that there is. And it's very secretive of what, you know, is going on underneath the Denver International Airport. These theories of what's going on there were propelled by, you can go into the, you know, the, like one of the main terminal lobbies. And in the corner of this lobby, there is a Freemason cornerstone plaque saying it was built and dedicated to Freemasons, which, you know, as soon as their name's brought up, that lends to conspiracy world. And then these murals that your friend had mentioned, they were these crazy apocalyptic future, you know, things, paintings of soldiers with gas masks holding knives over kids' heads and very strange, bizarre scenes like that. That wasn't very, you know, soothing and settling to somebody that's got their nerves on edge traveling anyway in an airport. Why do you have gas mask soldiers with knives, swords
over kids? That's so strange, because normally the art you see in an airport is rather happy, calming, pleasant art.
Yes. And these were huge murals. I mean, they're beautiful. And I can't even remember all of them because they have taken them down now. They started doing some construction remodel again. They just built it and now they're doing another big remodel and reconstruction, you know, on this building again. And they took all these murals down, but during this remodel, they put up signs all through the place that said, you know, pardon our mess. we're just rearranging things for our next Illuminati headquarters meeting party. Don't, you know, don't look up behind this wall. There's construction going on. And it also could be the entrance to our reptilian overlords, captive home below or something like that.
Now I do find that funny, but was it meant to be funny?
Well, that's the thing.
I'm assuming it was.
Like, okay, like, you know, it, not to, you know, harp on these secret societies, but when you search paranormal, secret societies and things like that actually come into play, because a lot of these secret societies are rumored to do rituals and do things that invoke dark spirits. And so when you're researching a place that has ghost stories to it and you find things that are associated with secret societies,
yeah,
there's a chance that they've done something to make that ghost story happen. That's why the paranormal world, you know, it's such a vast, large topic that it could take you on many different rabbit holes when you really start getting into it. Like, we're the dark side of Denver ghost tours, okay? I would never want to have anything on my website saying, we love the Illuminati, we're the Illuminati headquarters. Because although some people think the Illuminati is fake or is this, you know, a Hollywood creation or whatever, there's a lot of people that actually believe the Illuminati is real and is controlling our lives and is a very evil organization. Why would you want to be associated with that in any way? I just can't picture a company saying,
yeah,
let's tag our names with reptilians and Illuminati and that's going to help business. You know,
or was there was a meeting and they're like, you know, everybody's saying it anyway. Wouldn't it be funny if we did that and kind of acknowledge that's what they're talking about? But at the same time, that's just feeding the conspiracies.
Right.
So if they think it's going to be funny, they're feeding it at the same time.
They even they had an automated gargoyle. It was like it was on a stand and there was like this little demon with wings. And when you would walk up to it, it would move its head, move its mouth, and talk with you. And it was making constant references to Illuminati and reptilians and things like that.
What the hell?
It's amazing what they were doing. And like you said, it's done nothing to, you know, dispel the conspiracies about it. Even the artwork that they do, besides the murals I talk about, they have a horse that has been called Blucifer. And it's this giant blue horse in front of the airport that has flaming red eyes.
I have seen that, yes.
Yes. It's a very ominous, you know, kind of figure. The artist was actually killed by this statue while making it. It fell over and collapsed on it. Yes. And then from what I understand, the second artist that finished it, he had traumatic things happen to him after he finished the project. And so you have this Blucifer, which is a great name, you know, for a, you know, a ghost tour. That's right up our alley. But you also had, at one point, they had a giant statue of Anubis, which is the Egyptian god of death. And again, this is an airport where people are nervous. We don't like flying. It's a pain. It's
well,
scary.
I don't want the god of death there before I take off.
You're going to, the god of death is welcoming like, you to your airport. That doesn't help me feel good about anything.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So, I mean, all these things you can go on. And I even had a personal experience as far as I met somebody. I play disc golf and Denver has a lot of disc golf courses. And I was playing around and I randomly started playing around with a guy that just kind of, we met up on the course. And we were talking about the ghost tour and things like that. And we had a pretty good conversation going. And all of a sudden he goes, you know, I worked out at the airport for a while. That place is no joke. I was like, yeah, I've heard all about it. He's like, I think what they're saying is true. I was like, why? What happened? And he was part of a security detail that worked there. And there was an area in the lobby where there was this door. And everybody in the airport who works there has to have access to go to certain places. It's all, you know, if you work at the Taco Bell in the airport, you go to the Taco Bell. You don't get to, you know, roam around.
Right. Which makes sense.
Right. He had a security clearance, though. There was one door that he always walked past that his security clearance wasn't allowed to go into. And he never saw anybody come in and out of it. And he always wondered what was behind that door for some reason. And he said one time on a lunch break, he decided to see what was behind that door. And he went through the door and there was a stairwell that just went down, 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 down. He could not even see the bottom of it, he said. And he showed me a picture from the top of the stairwell. And like I said, you just saw stairs going down, 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 down. He went down these stairs and he said it opened up into this huge tunnel that had like metal roof and metal sides. And as he was walking through this tunnel to see where it goes, all of a sudden two doors opened and two like army guys with machine guns stepped out and said, "What are you doing here?" He's like, "I'm security. I think I went into the wrong door." And they're like, "Yeah, you did. You better get out of here." He ran back upstairs and started working the rest of the day. He was fired by that afternoon. I've had personal people tell me these sort of things. And then you read these conspiracies and you're like, man, it's hard. You know, they say in the conspiracy world, what's the difference between the conspiracy and the truth? And it's about 6 months to a year. Because usually things that are, that it comes out later on that these things are true. And this stuff with the airport is just, there's too much for it just to be coincidence. There's something going on with that place. And with the rumors of the tunnels connecting from Denver and that sort of thing, it makes for a very interesting thought to be able to look into that kind of stuff.
Well, that poor guy, like he goes down there and sees that and then gets fired.
Yeah, that's a kind of crazy thing about Denver. You know, everything in the paranormal world, there's Bigfoot sightings that happen outside of Denver. There's aliens that are seen, UFOs that are seen. There's areas all throughout Colorado that are known for having different types of aliens that visit on a regular basis up in the mountains area. Serial killers are known to run rampant through Boulder and Denver, and are currently active serial killers that operate nationwide are considered to have their home base out of Denver and Boulder. There's just every conspiracy, every paranormal thing, every out of this world thing has its ties to Colorado.
That's so interesting.
That's why it was so much fun to be able to just find all this information and talk to all these different people that had these experiences that can back up that information. It just really is made for an interesting tour to put together because there's so much there to touch on.
Now, have you had some interesting things happen while you have been on a tour? And you don't do the number of tours personally like you used to. You still do host some.
Yeah, occasionally I'll kind of do a guest appearance at this point. I've stepped more back into the promoter manager role. We are working with some great group of people that are work in improv, comedy, and theater, and are very passionate about entertaining, because that's a very important part of a ghost tour.
Absolutely. You have to be,
Storytelling is a dying art form, and we are trying to keep that art form around. And when you find people that are just as passionate as you about telling stories and putting on these great tours, it's been rewarding to work in a different light than I normally was on this tour. And so we've got these great guides that are doing it. But yeah, we've had so many unique experiences. I do remember this one building that we went into their basement. It was an old keg room. And it used to be connected to Union Station and had some tunnels underneath it. And they actually was times in the history where there had been soldiers' bodies stored in this basement because it was kind of like an ice house kind of place. So there was a lot of heavy negative energy in this space. But one time we had a group of, I was doing a private tour for a retirement home. And we had about 30 senior citizens from this retirement home take this tour. And they were just so, they loved the history of it. So that was a really nice part. We were more focused on the history that evening than the ghost stories. But when we get down in this basement, everybody starts to feel a little bit ominous. And the mood of the tour kind of shifted a little bit. And there was a part of the tour where I wanted people to experience what it was like to be in this room in the dark. And so I turned the lights off at one point in this basement. And when we turned the lights off, we all heard a little girl crying. And then the cries became louder to where we heard what sounded like a little girl scream. And I'm going to tell you, I have never seen senior citizens move so fast in my life.
It's like, please be careful. Don't break a hip.
Right. There might have been a couple hips out of place after they all took off, but we were freaked out. There is a story of a little girl that is prevalent at our starting location on the tour. the more we have talked about her, the more she has made her presence known. And we almost feel like that she is using these tunnels to go back and forth between buildings. Because shortly after we had that experience, and we talk about this little girl at our starting location. And then this building that's across the street where we had this experience was the first time we had that. Well, about a month later on this tour, I had a gentleman who claimed to be a psychic medium. And we meet people like that all the time. And we love having on the tour because usually they will add a little, a little value to what we're saying, pick up on things. Then, you know, we'll participate and, you know, make it a more complete tour, so to speak. But this guy that night was so over the top. I mean, literally everywhere we went, he was seeing something. He was feeling something. He was being dramatic and loud about it to where he was kind of becoming a distraction to the tour. Well, we get down to this last stop where we'd had this experience with the retirement home. And I'm in there with the group and I haven't talked about anything that's happened. And at this point in the tour, I'm letting people take pictures and kind of look around this space before I tell them what goes on in the space. And I look over and this gentleman who's claiming to be a psychic medium is sitting over looking at this wall where the tunnel entrance is. And I walk over to him. I'm like, doing all right? And he's like, no. She's trapped. She's a little girl. Her mother left her to die in the tunnels. She's lost. She's scared. She doesn't know what to do. And that became a moment when I realized maybe even though he was being outlandish, he might be a little bit more connected than I thought. Because I feel like there is a story to that of that little girl. It combines with our first place. And if you look into how people were raised back in the day, there was numerous stories of people just dropping their kids off if they didn't want to, if they weren't helping the family provide, you would become dead weight to us basically. And so there's a possibility that something like that has happened. And so we actually began working at that time because we felt such a connection to this little girl's story. I started bringing in more psychics and medium, try to do things to help her spirit actually release from that space. And since we have done that, we haven't had an occurrence with her since.
That makes me all emotional.
Yeah. Some of these stories, that's the thing. It's like I said, it's not scary. These are touching.
Because you also gave me something to think about, how doing a tour, and you might change it up time to time, but I would guess you do visit a lot of the same places on a regular basis anyway. Sure. And has the tour changed over time with immensely things that have happened and things you've learned?
Yes, very much so. The script, so to speak, that I started off with on the tour is completely different than what we're doing now. We will have things that happen on the tour that we update. We add to it. We feel it's important that somebody knows in this space we had this group experience. Find out more information. One of the main ways I think I mentioned is how we talk to a lot of the people that work at these buildings. And like basically the usual way it works out is we'll introduce ourselves and say, yeah, we work with Dark Side of Denver Ghost Tours and we run tours through here. How you doing? And they're like, oh, is this place haunted? And you'll kind of make fun of us. But then after they see us for a little bit, they'll come back up and they're like, so what do you know about this place? And they start giving us information of things that have happened to them. And so when we get these new stories, we constantly update it. And then also the fact that, that we are bringing people into these businesses, those business relationships are one of the hardest things to maintain and work to keep the tour, going into those locations, whether it be, people that gave us permission, they get fired or move on or whatever the case may be. And we have to reintroduce ourselves to a new director of operations or a new manager that comes in. And so the buildings are constantly fluctuating as far as what we get access to. The stories are constantly updating and improving and, depending on what we learn. And we, like I said earlier, we consider this tour to be an ongoing investigation. We are getting access to these places. We are doing things. We are finding things out constantly on those tours. And so not any tour is the same, but they do have a basis to them that we try to keep to, but we never know what's going to happen.
That's so interesting. I can't wait to take one of your tours.
Oh, we'd love to have you.
It'd be so much fun. And you can get information about them. Just go to darksideofdenver.com. And I'll put a link in the show notes as well. So you can just easily click on that. But I think it would be fun, you know, next time you're going to Denver, vacationing in Denver, to take one of these tours.
I was amazed to find out how many people, you know, it's about 50% local. And about 50% tourists that come to Denver is our kind of our demographic. And so people, you know, those tours have become popular to where, you know, when you visit a city, if you just put in that city, you know, if you're going to Miami, put in Miami ghost tour, mm-hmm. something's going to pop up. And so, you know, there's a market out there, and we feel very lucky and fortunate to be able to be a small piece of that pie, so to speak.
I would guess October's insanely busy for you.
It's usually is sold out and turning people away every year. And it's kind of our biggest month of the year. But because we go into buildings, mm-hmm. again, we are able to operate year round. We have a public tour this Friday for Valentine's Day. You know, so even if it's, you know, a cold or a little bit snow, we'll still be able to go in and then, you know, go out in the streets a little bit, then go into another building.
Yeah, get warmed up
a little bit. Yeah. So we are able to operate year round. Most people don't know that, though. They think of walking tours only in the spring and summer. But yeah, we operate year round in October, and yeah, it's just huge.
Well, Brooke, thank you so much for taking the time to chat with me tonight. This was so interesting, especially that airport part. Well, did not know about that.
There is so much that we just scratched the surface. And I appreciate you letting us talk about this, talk about the tour. And I truly enjoy your work, and I'm honored to be a part of your show.
Oh, thank you so much for the kind words. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Carol.
And that wraps up our conversation with Brooke Lee. For more information on his ghost tours, visit darksideofdenver.com. If you'd like access to all of our episodes, including the archive and advance episodes, everything commercial free, become a Gravekeeper. Sign up on Apple Podcasts where you can try it for 3 days free, or you can also go to patreon.com/thegravetalks. I'm Carol Hughes, and for all of us here at The Grave Talks, thank you very much for listening.
Normally in these ads, you'd expect someone like me to ask you to buy something. But I want to ask you to do something different. I'm Dave Farenthold, and I'm a reporter for the New York Times. I'm an investigative reporter, which means that I follow the money, inside of government and outside of government. The point of my job is to find things people are trying to hide. It involves talking to lots of people. It involves looking through lots and lots of documents. And if there weren't folks like me to go beyond the surface to understand who is really shaping what the government does, the public will be left in the dark about what the government's doing with your tax money, what the government's doing to you through regulations and spending. If you're like me and you think this kind of journalism is important, seek out a news source that does firsthand, fact-based reporting. If that's the New York Times, thank you. If that's your local paper, that's great too, because where you get your information matters.